Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, the colleagues who have spoken to you before myself have been able to give you particular facts and convey particular knowledge, asking you to accept it as empirical evidence. I have, in some ways, a much more difficult task, that there is no empirical evidence I can give you. Further, it would be invidious of me to attempt to point out to you what the moral implications of this Holocaust has been. It seems to me that that is a matter for each individual to decide and to come to terms with it within the configurations of his own conscience. Many times since those dark days in Bergen-Belsen, I've been asked either to speak about it or to write about it, and as you see even today, I've been utterly unable to put down anything in words. And when I find myself speaking to you, I find myself in a curious paradox, because I believe that what has happened is unspeakable, incommunicable. And I've often quoted, and I will quote again, the only person who seems to me to have said something pertinent about that whole episode in the history of man. It comes from a review of a book written by a person who himself was an inmate in Auschwitz. He said, "The experience of the Holocaust in Europe defies language and leads to a mystique of silence or to madness itself. The experience cannot be communicated, not truly communicated. One knows it only from within, where knowledge becomes an obsession. Survivors refrain from speech because they no longer believe in words. And there is a trap. One wants to communicate what happened, and yet in the very attempt, one is defeated. There is something happened there in Germany which was dark and black. It fell completely outside the human expectations of behavior. It's a point, if I might say, utterly outside the human curve. And I think this is the difficulty of facing it as such, something which cannot be understood. Try as we might, we have to face simply its horror. Now, I've been taken to task and told that I'm evading. Perhaps I am. Perhaps that's the way of protecting myself. But I can only tell you what I have experienced, not in the factual episodes, which would fall far short of what happens inside. There's some terrible thing which we need to face. And in trying to explain it, I fail. But only approximating it, and I emphasize approximating it, I think it has something to do with the utter destruction, atomization of trust. When such things happen, that vital element of the human being, to trust, vanishes. And subsequently, the individual in some sense, has lost his greatest possession. Whoever has lost trust has nothing more to lose. And it is those experiences which happened in Germany, which go to the very root of trust, and after that, few can trust themselves, and fewer still can trust others. It's a cancerous growth that starts in one social setting and finds its way into every tissue of the social structure. I know that one has to study this by every means possible. But somehow, as I hear the facts being stated, I'm aware of deep irony that those who have been destroyed have to prove that they've been damaged. If a person were to be exploded into atoms by some high explosive, would the question be relevant, was the person damaged? And have we the knowledge to know how these now atomized pieces relate to one another? This dreadful symphony was written in a strange and alien key. And we've heard about the attempt on the part of some of the people in Germany who defend themselves by denying it. We all must use, or may be tempted to use, one or another form of denial. And I somehow sense, and I hope my colleagues will not take this in any way as a criticism, but I somehow sense that this terrible key in which that symphony was written is being transposed into a more familiar key. The attempt is being made to translate what is utterly untranslatable into something which is more comfortable. That individuals who have been hurled into that torrent should drag themselves out and then be asked, were you injured? There are some things, it seems to me, which must be instantaneously and immediately recognized and not the subject of discussion. Injustice is one. Unless we can bring ourselves to see that immediately and not throw it into the realm of wonderment, I think we are lost. Unless we can respond in some immediate way, to what is patently present, but against which we are apt to defend ourselves, then this defense process will continue and the dark forces will have their way. I think that we're all subject to the very same thing that happened in Germany, however much we may wish to deny it. That it happened there is true, but that it is happening everywhere is also true. I had a long 2-year debate with one of the accused at Nuremberg. This was a written debate, and I thought it was significant that with daily interchange, it finally evolved that where he and I differed was that he attributed a finite value to a single human being. Unless we live in such a way that we can honestly say to ourselves that the single individual has infinite value, that we are prepared to do everything possible to correct injustice to a single person, I think the trend will continue until another Holocaust arrives. We wait and wait and wait until there are 4, 5, 6, 7 thousands and millions being destroyed, and then when we decide to act, it is too late. I don't think this is a question of Germany and concentration camps. It is a human question. And the answer to it does not reside, as I see it, in physiological, biochemical, or anatomical studies. The answer resides within ourselves, each one. And until we can stand in the middle of the night and face that darkness and not lose trust, unless we can do that, I see no hope for the future. But I believe that we can if we determine to do so.